This seance was recorded on the 6th of July, 1987, medium Leslie Flint.
Is Mickey with you?
Yes, we're all together. Yes, oh, I'm so happy you've come. So happy you've
all come. Lovely to be here, babe.
What'd you say?
Lovely to be here.
Oh, I can't tell you how grateful I am.
I know,
darling. Oh, you're bringing them along.
I know.
Oh, it means so much to me.
I know, darling.
I just want you to know I'm well and happy. I'm happy that you know I'm all right. I'm okay.
Yes.
I'm all right.
No more love. I'm here, dear.
What you up to nowadays?
Oh, I'm with Gillian mostly, from Peter.
Give them all my love.
I will.
Give them all my love.
Yes.
I'm here, Mum.
Gillian's here.
I'm here.
Gillian's here.
I know you're there. I'm so excited, I can't think straight.
I'm so
excited. I just want you to know I love you. I'm not miles away. I come and see you all every day without fail. Time's nothing to me now.
What do you do with your time, babe? Have you got a sewing machine over there?
Don't be silly.
I
want a sewing machine. What do I want a sewing machine for?
Yeah.
I don't want that.
No,
I want is for everyone to know I'm all right. Good. One day we'll all get together again.
You
just
will.
Like old times.
You will.
How's your foot, Harry? Harold.
Oh, my foot, dear. It's all right. Not so bad. Not so bad. Nothing to worry about.
You had a bit of trouble with your foot, didn't you?
My feet and my legs.
Yes.
Never mind. Don't.
Okay.
Old age. That's what it is, old age, yes. The word is old age.
Never mind, dear. Gary.
How?
This. What do you want? What did you say?
Billy.
Oh, have you seen Frank?
We've
seen your brother, have you?
Yes.
Because you thought he'd died, didn't you?
Yes.
Had he? Had he died?
Yes.
He had.
Now we're all together. Frank. Peter.
Yes, Peter there.
Thanks for everything.
That's all right. And Jenny's here.
Didn't think you'd see Peter and Jenny here one day, did you?
No, I never thought Jenny would ever come.
Of
course, I used to talk about it all. But I never thought, well, never mind.
And Jenny's Peter.
And Peter's here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
About the people they've left behind in a physical sense,
and they're very anxious to be of help, and above all they want them to be comforted and to know that death is not the end. Indeed, it's the beginning, in a sense, of a greater journey.
Yeah.
And it's not so unknown as some people would have you believe. You know, at times people get very unsettled, very unsure, particularly those who perhaps have had a very religious background or upbringing, and I think it's much more difficult for them to appreciate or understand, and yet they should be the very first that should realize the truth, that life continues after death, so-called. Indeed, if Jesus hadn't appeared to the disciples in the upper room when the door was locked, he would have had no Christianity as a faith and a belief. And not only, of course, did he appear to the disciples, he appeared to other people. And through time, indeed, time immemorial, people have seen apparitions or so-called ghosts, if you like. But apart from all that, the reality of communication is the very basis of all religions. If it were not so, you wouldn't have any religious group or body of individuals or peoples. Life is a continuous thing in itself by its very nature of things. People, you see, I think the whole tragedy is, and it's understandable to a point, that majority of people think purely on a physical level. They think the physical body is the be-all and the end-all. And when that is dead, then to many people, that is the end of life itself, which of course is not so. What animates the physical body? The personality, the reality of the spirit which inhabits every human frame. This is the reality of the spirit. The power of the spirit knows no bounds. You know, we get very sad, and we get very disheartened, and we get very disillusioned with particularly people of orthodox religion in your world who just will not understand or cannot understand that the power of the spirit can overcome all things, and even so-called death. This business of waiting for the great resurrection day, as indeed some religious people believe, and that those who are chosen, the special ones, will be on the right hand, as it were, of the Father, is a mythological thing. You know, we could go into depth on many aspects of teachings of religious groups and bodies. This is not being, I hope, unkind in saying this, because most people attached to religious groups and organizations are sincere enough, and indeed in many instances do very good work. No one is making condemnation, but what we do feel is the tragedy, that the realization that life is continuous, that death does not destroy, that it destroys the material or the physical aspect of self. The one, for instance, that you love, this dear lady who is so close to you and is so concerned about you all and is very anxious that you should realize that she is well and happy and she cares for you still. She may not be, from your point of view, in the physical sense of around you, you do not see her. That does not mean to say that she's not oft times with you. She comes in her own way to tune in, to try and impress you. Sometimes you suddenly realize you're getting an impression or a thought, or you feel, in a sense, the reality of her presence. Though you do not see her physically, she is there mentally and spiritually with you. She is indeed a progressed soul now, away from material things. Obviously, she's not beset with the problems and the difficulties and the sickness and the ill health that she suffered. That's all finished. That died with the physical body anyway. that she's vital, she's alive, she's well, she's happy. She wants all of you to be so, not to grieve for her, but to rejoice that she's out of pain and suffering, that eventually you will all come together again. And in the interim, she will be around, taking an interest in your daily lives, trying to help you if she possibly can and when she can. You know, I know it's human and it's natural and understandable when you lose, as you term it, in a physical sense, someone that you've known and loved for so long a time. When that person dies, as the world terms it, you are bereft, you feel desperately unhappy. And of course, in a sense, the unhappiness is for yourselves. You are the ones who grieve. You're the ones who lack the presence of the one that you once had so near and dear and close to you. But there are oft times around you. Don't be unhappy within yourselves. Rejoice for her that no longer has she pain and suffering. Rejoice because she's out of all the problems of the material world. And above all, rejoice because she's free. Free from all the material things which beset each one of you in your daily lives. You have probably many years yet to go together, which of course for your sakes we are very happy about. But the point is that time in itself is an illusion. Of course, it's difficult to make people see this when they're in the material world. You plan for the next week or so, or you plan for whatever it happens to be in the future, which is natural and right and is understandable. You're living in a material world, and you have to live in a material way to a certain extent. It has to be so be. You know, I oftentimes think of the teachings of the Christ. You know, did he not turn the money changers out of the temple? Did he not show temper at times? Was he not very human? Did he not also say, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's? In other words, what he's saying, in a material sense, you have to live a material life. You have to render in a material sense and in a material way the ordinary routine daily experiences of life, and all its problems have to be faced up to. But you also have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. That's the reality. That is the real you. That should be the driving force in all your thoughts and your actions. And they should work harmoniously together. You know, we are very upset at times on this side when we see how the church behaves, how it, in its own strange way, endeavors to stop people thinking for themselves and inquiring into these things. I mean, that which we are referring to now in regard to life after death and communication is as old as time itself. Is nothing new, nothing strange. Read your Bible and you will find innumerable instances of the so-called dead communicating with the so-called living on earth. There's nothing new, and no one should be afeard or afraid of the communication between the two worlds. And indeed, if they were to listen and to act upon the things of the Spirit that we endeavor to give, you could change the whole face of your world. All the hatred, the malice, and the intolerance in your world, a great deal of that, as you well know, is built up by religious intolerance. Yeah. The stupidity of man, who will not allow himself to progress beyond the confines of material things. Whether you look in Iran, or whether you look in Ireland, what is it? A religious war. Religion should not breed hatred, malice, and intolerance, but it oftentimes does. Mm. And there's a great deal of fear that is circulated by religion. They try desperately to stop people thinking for themselves and analyzing situations appertaining to the things of the spirit. Jesus came into the world to show the path of spiritual progression. But man has created religion out of what Jesus himself endeavored to do. Here was a man who had nowhere to lay his head. He was despised and rejected. He had nothing. He came out of the world of the flesh with nothing, as indeed he entered into it with nothing, as indeed do you. You came into the world with nothing, and you will leave your world with nothing. Only your experiences, only your remembrances, like the dear little lady here that remembers you with love and affection, who comes to you, endeavors to help you in her own little quiet way, and as she gets stronger and more able and more conscious of certain things, so you will feel, and she will be happy in making you feel her presence. Believe me, my friends, you have nothing to fear. The power and the love of the Spirit overcomes all things. Your dear little friend here, bless her heart, she's very close to you. Although she perhaps couldn't say all that much this morning, it's early days yet. She hasn't been here all that long, and she's happily settling down. She only wants you, each one of you, to have peace of mind, to be patient with each other, patient with yourselves. Try to cope together as best you can for the common good. Her interest in you as a family, and not only as a family, but even beyond the family, her presence will be felt. She knew certain things appertaining to this truth. She had some experience, and of course that was a blessing and a help to her when she came here. She was met by innumerable relations and friends and people she had known over the life that she led when on earth. You know, my dear friends, have no fear, no qualms. Know that all is well, that God is good, and that God loves his children. Now, of course, I'm not talking loosely about a God as oft-times preached by the church or certain churches or religious groups. I mean, God to us is not as it would be perhaps to some people, a person sitting on a great throne waiting to judge the people who come over here, and that some shall be chosen and some rejected. All that is mythological. It all goes back through centuries and centuries and centuries of time. Indeed, it's the basis of a lot of religions, such as the virgin birth. Before the birth of the Christ, innumerable religions of thousands of years previous had based certain things on the virgin birth. Of course, some people listening to me saying all these things, especially those connected with church, would probably say, oh, now, you know, this man rejects this, rejects that. But then again, truth is the most important factor. It's not important only to know certain things appertaining to life eternal. There are many things that you can experience by personal experience, if only you give yourselves the opportunity. I mean, I'm not suggesting that you make a habit of communicating. I wouldn't even say that it's always very necessary. The point is that once you have instilled into your inner realization that life is continuous, you have not lost any dear friend or soul that you have known. That person loves you still, with a stronger and a better and a more wonderful love, because they are bereft of the material aspect of self. The self, they are now spiritually aware, and their love will overcome all things. Don't worry. Your dear one here is thrilled, happy, excited, of course a bit emotional, as one would naturally expect, which to some extent, I suppose, in a way inhibits the first-class contact, because you cannot help it in the initial early stages. One gets terribly excited, terribly worked up, terribly emotional, because the love is so intense for each one of you. She sends all her love and blessing, and if at some future time you feel you can come again, I knew she'd do much better. She'd be probably a little calmer, not so sort of overexcited. But believe me, my friends, it's been a joy to us to reunite you, if only temporarily. We give you all our love and all our blessings, and may peace go with you.
May we have your name, please, sir?
Well, in names, you know, oftentimes people have asked me my name. Sometimes, admittedly, I've said. But you see, it's not in the name.
No, I know.
You know, what is important is not a name in itself. I know why you ask, and I appreciate it. It's what is said, what is felt with a great intensity of love and feeling. Yeah. We are as we are. You were given a name, you have a birth certificate, and people know you, whatever it is. Although I do believe they tease you a bit and call you something else, don't they? Yes, I know that. No, actually, I was in my own field, and I'm going back, oh, my goodness me, must be half a century. I was well known in my own field of activity, which was the church itself. At that period of time, I would never have believed in spiritualism, and indeed, in fact, I can tell you, way back, I rather was inclined to condemn anyone having to do with spiritualism. But then again, I was ignorant. That's the extraordinary part about it. Here was I brought up in the church, studied all my life, and yet I was ignorant of the reality of life after death. I just really, genuinely, deeply believed that once you were in the ground, that was it. Your body disintegrated, and if you had believed certain things which the church taught, eventually you would rise from the grave on the great day of the resurrection. Now I see the fallacy of all that, and I'm so anxious as why I come, because I want people to know the truth. Life is continuous. There is no such thing as death. It's the biggest mirage of the lot, really. I'm not dead. I'm very much alive. I only wish to goodness I could do more than I am able to do. But you know, may I call you Bubbles? I understand that's what you're called.
That's right.
Yes, I've seen you here on various occasions. Anyway, Mrs. Bubbles, or Miss Bubbles.
Just Bubbles,
all right.
You won't tell us your name before
bless you
go?
Bless you, and come with your... What did you say?
You won't tell us your name before you go?
Well, you really want to know my name. Let's forget it. Names are in themselves not so vital.
We don't want to forget it. We like to know to whom we've been speaking. Been very
yes, I know that. Well,
don't be shy.
Don't be shy.
I
was an archbishop.
You were
looking
an
back on I my think. Life, Lang.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, bless you.
God
I must go.
Thanks
God. Bye-bye. God bless you.
God bless you.
I don't know if you can hear me.
Hiya, McKay.
But you see, well, I've been around, but I have to do what I'm told, at least to some extent, you know.
Yeah.
And we was all so anxious to help, you know. And I just didn't want you to think that I had not turned up.
No, we didn't think that.
And Mabel.
Oh, Mabel, yes.
Bless her heart, she's a lovely lady.
And she
sends all that love to everyone. I think she's disappointed because she had a girl right there.
Oh.
And I think she feels that, well, perhaps next time she should...
I think we'll talk from this gentleman
that's
just...
Yeah, but she'll come around, won't she?
Yeah.
Well, she's got a bit of religion, ain't she, or something.
She says she wants to believe, but...
She finds it difficult, does she?
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
it's going to take something to prove it to her, she said.
Well, you tell her that it's up to her, but she's got the opportunity, maybe, if she wants to. Anyway, I have to go. Bye-bye.
Oh,
Mickey.
Oh,
Mickey.
Oh.
Is she gone?
Well, they did that there.
Oh, that was lovely.
because sometimes they don't always want to. Like Lang, what's his name? Lang, didn't he?
I knew he was, I had a feeling about the Archer's power, but, I'd just like to know, it's nice to listen to the tape again, and, it was very interesting. Did you all find that interesting?
Yes, I think
it was. Yes,
I'm sure.
I think that's where it was directed,
that's why
it came.
Yes.
And nobody told Vicky that somebody else should have been here, so that ought to prove to her that there was something. But Vicky said that she disappointed the other girl not here.
Yeah. Mum said.
Yeah,
she told.
I saw, and I don't normally see anything, but I might as well mention this in case it has any significance. But I saw a very tall man, what I call skinny looking, very angular, longish face. I'm not saying he's any connection with anybody, but just for a brief second or two. And the extraordinary thing was that one moment he had a moustache, and then it disappeared. Whether it was that at some period he had a moustache and then he shaved it off for some reason. I don't know, I may have no connection with anybody, but...
It has been like John Webb.
Put the light on now.
John Webb, he was very tall, extraordinarily tall.
But he was he looked tall and thin. And
he was tall.
And then he had a moustache, and then it suddenly disappeared. I thought, well... And he was right near you, as far as I can tell, sitting in the dark.
Yeah, he was very, very tall. Well over 6 foot.
Is this all new to all your friends in this?
She was the same one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, one of them, you came once, yeah. Didn't you?
Not the rest of us.
No, Peter and Harold and Jenny and Peter, they haven't been to anything like this before. I don't think they've ever been to the séance before.
John Webb, that is. Very much like John Webb. Really did.
It's a shame you don't know the
funny thing, and Dorothy Webb was, when Gillian came before, was brought out. Dorothy Webb. Anything with two webs.